Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
There is nothing new in the world except the history you do not know. So said President Harry Truman, capturing the undeniable reality that history has a lot to teach us if we'll only take the time to look back. Today, we go on the road and revisit some of history's most famous names, but we'll discover something often overlooked in each of their stories, the power of faith. Tricia Goyer has written more than 50 books, including novels and nonfiction titles offering encouragement and hope. She has also published more than 500 articles in national publications. In a remarkable book aimed at young people, Tricia examines the lives of historical luminaries like Martin Luther, St. Patrick, and Corrie ten Boom, and shows how prayer shapes the lives that shaped our history. And we welcome Tricia on the road today. Greetings to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great being here.
The path to this book is pretty interesting. As a homeschooling mom, you were coming across these stories quite repeatedly, right?
Yes. You know, I've been homeschooling since about 1995, and I've loved it. I read a lot to my kids. And as I was reading these biographies, these wonderful collections of stories, I kept coming across these wonderful prayers. And I think, this is another time when someone prayed and something really amazing happened. And I just started collecting them. I had a file cabinet, and I would take notes and put it in there. And pretty soon I thought, you know, this would be an amazing book. And so that's really how it came, just me with my kids sitting on the couch, reading books together and coming across amazing people and sometimes the stories that many people don't know.
It's absolutely true. The prayers that changed history, from Christopher Columbus to Helen Keller, how God used 25 people to change the world, is the name of the title. And it is just a fun read, especially if you have some interest in history. And I know that the book is aimed at young people, Tricia, but I really, really enjoyed it. Is that acceptable? Is that okay that I enjoyed it that much?
Absolutely. I've gotten so many letters from moms and dads and you know, people that don't even have kids. And it's just, they're really easy stories to read. But they're, you know, I just was able to capture these moments in time with these prayers. And people of all ages absolutely have really enjoyed it.
Well, this is great because I feel like if these are stories that can entertain and hold the attention of a family of eight, I mean, there's no better way to know how fascinating these stories are. And I just want to ask you about these stories. Just dig into the various stories you present in this book. 25 stories, of course, and actually mostly individuals, but there is one group of people that I want to ask you specifically about as well. But first off, of course, we know St. Patrick's Day. We know what a big deal St. Patrick is in history. But you detail how key it was that he said yes to an opportunity in his life. And you really look at what may have happened if he said no instead. Can you paint that picture and explain why faith was so key to his life?
Absolutely. You know, we all know, you know, St. Patrick's Day and the leprechauns and the four-leaf clovers and yep, all those things. But really, with my kids, I was able to research and find out more about St. Patrick. And it was just so amazing to find out that he was actually kidnapped. He was a young man, about 15 years old, and he was a slave in Ireland. And so that's how he ended up in Ireland the first time. And there's horrible things going on in the Druids and pagans casting magic spells and their superstitions and human sacrifice. And he had been he'd grown up in a family that believed in God, but really before he got to Ireland, he really didn't have faith. But once he was there, he turned to God and he prayed and asked God to help rescue him. And it's a miraculous story, but through a dream, he found a way to escape, and he went back to his own country. And while he was there, you know, years passed, and he had a dream, and he had the people of Ireland saying, come back to us and tell us about Christ. And it would have been so easy to say no. He's been there before. He was a slave there. Yeah. he knows, he knew what had happened. But instead he said yes. And it reminded me so much, too, of the story of Paul with the Macedonians and how he had the same type of dream saying, come to us and come over here and tell us about Christ. And so here again, God used that. And Patrick went and he took a lot of monks with him, started churches, and really brought Christianity back to Ireland. So sometimes the places that we don't want to be is exactly where God sends us. And I just love that story, how, you know, God sometimes speaks to us in unusual ways, but when we obey him, the whole continent or whole country was changed because of Patrick.
It's an amazing story. That's the voice of Tricia Goyer. She's author of Prayers That Changed History, From Christopher Columbus to Helen Keller, How God Used 25 People to Change the World. I say she's author of that book. She is, but also 50 more, including novels, nonfiction titles, and over 500 articles in national publications. Of course, dreams figuring so significantly into St. Patrick's story. Another one that caught my eye was the story of Emperor Constantine. And this Roman emperor who makes the turn, really, from the Roman Empire being a place of so many different pagan religions to becoming a Christian empire, at least in title. But can you take us into the story of how a dream really came to him in one of the pivotal moments of his life?
Absolutely. So Constantine, we know him as, you know, being part of the Roman Empire, and it was divided when he came to power. But it was in the imperial court that he actually heard about Christianity. And so I think it's so amazing, you know, that we hear so much about Rome, but rarely do we hear about Christianity being in Rome. And so he felt that he had God on his side, and he was actually going against a battle with Maxentius. And they had a huge army. Constantine's army was greatly outnumbered. The other side had way more people and more weapons, and they just had a lot more power. But on the evening of October 27th, even though he was outnumbered, he had a dream that there was going to be victory. And in the dream, he was told that if they put Christ's monogram or initials on their shields, that they would defeat the enemy. And so he woke up just full of faith, and there was a bridge, the Milovan Bridge over the Tiber River, and he knew that he was going to meet them in battle. And it was actually in the battle that the enemy, they got confused. A lot of them tried to escape over the bridge and drowned, and that Constantine's men were actually able to take control and to win that battle. And that was one of the battles when helped him to lead him into Rome. And so on October 29th, he went into Rome, and he was singing victory to God and triumph. And he ended up actually getting on his knee before his soldiers and praying and thanking God for the victory. And so, you know, we don't hear about these things. We hear about you know, everything else that's going on, but the Christianity that was there, and that I just think it's so amazing that he heard about it somehow in the courts. So you just know that there's people, the unknown people who are sharing Christ, ends up leading Constantine, and then it became a Christian nation for a while. And so, again, it's a time, you know, Constantine was praying, and God brought this dream to him and promised him victory.
Oh, it's really fascinating. Really, really fascinating. Another name that we know, of course, so many of us have heard his name ever since we were young, learning about faith, Martin Luther. But you detail one of the really, really most key moments of his life, the time really when the whole might of the Holy Roman Empire was turned against him, and he had so much pressure on him to recant these, which at the time were considered heretical ideas that he'd been promoting. Mm-hmm. But can you talk about the trial at Worms?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Martin Luther at this time, before he went to Worms, he was in hiding, so he was away, and he could have stayed there. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to return. He didn't have to face trial, but he knew that he had to stand up for what he believed, and he had to stand up for, you know, basically that Christianity and the Bible's for ordinary man. So it was totally heretical at this time. But he went before them, and they asked him if he wanted to recant what he said. And he told them that, give me a day, because, he was sure that he was going to die if he didn't answer. But he went, and he spent a day praying and going before God. And the next day, he went before them, and he stood up for his beliefs, and he said, my books are not the same. There's books of prayers, and there's different books that I've written. But he said that his answer is that he will not retract anything, that he wanted to stand by everything he said, and he wanted God to help him. And so they thought for sure, all these horrible things would happen, but just how he was not going to back down from his faith, and that he was going to stand up and say that, faith is for the common man. And I think it's so important that we stand by our faith, even though, we think we may be turned away, we may be hurt, we may be considered a heretic, but just like Martin Luther, we can stand up for what we believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Tricia Goyer is with us on the road. The book we're talking about is Prayers That Changed History, From Christopher Columbus to Helen Keller, How God Used 25 People to Change the World. Tricia, a prolific author, over 50 books, 500 articles in national publications, and as you can probably tell, this is absolutely fascinating to me. I suppose the phrase would be geeking out. That's what I'm doing today. So
I love it.
Oh, it's so great. Thank you so much once again for being here and for sharing these stories. Now, so most of the stories in the book are about individuals, but I thought it was so cool that you included a group of people as well, the British people of World War II specifically, and you paint the picture of the spring of 1940 and just the threat that England itself was under as France was falling to the Nazi armies, to Hitler's armies. You tell the tale of a day of prayer that was called by King George that coincided precisely with the harrowing situation that was happening to the British and French troops at Dunkirk. Could you tell us that really incredible story?
Absolutely. And World War II is one of my favorite times in history. So talk about geeking out. I just love World War II. So this is absolutely one of my favorite times. And in Dunkirk, so when Hitler invaded France, there was a lot of British soldiers and French soldiers, and they were over there in France, and they didn't have a way to get across the channel. And, it was certain that if they were captured, they're going to be killed, they were going to be taken as prisoners of war. And so really, King George called a day of prayer so that on Sunday, May 26th, that everyone would get together and they would gather to pray. And they talk about everybody. And they talked about the pubs were closed, people were praying in the churches. The churches were filled and spilling out into the street, and everybody joined together. And they thought, if we try to evacuate, we could maybe only get 20,000 people out. But everyone joined together in prayer. And it was really amazing because on May 28th, storms broke out over Flanders, and so when they were going to get the soldiers, the air was completely filled with storms. No one was able to fly, so the Germans weren't able to come bomb the soldiers, bomb any of the vessels coming, but the sea was like glass, they said. And so the British Army was able to walk 12 miles to Dunkirk, and there they were able to board ships. And they had every little ship, every little dinghy, any type of vessel went around. They said it was like rush hour traffic on a highway. And so on May 29th, 47,000 men were rescued. On May 30th, 53,000. And then it continued, just 53,000 next day, 68,000, 64,000. In total, 334,000 men were able to get away from safety. And I just love that. You know, God tells us to turn to him, and when a nation gets on its knees. And I think it's just, and it's such an amazing thing that here's this whole country on their knees, and all those men were able to be rescued, and then later were able to go on, because those troops were safe, go on and, you know, fight Hitler and be able to win victory. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite stories of the book, too. That and Corrie ten Boom is probably one of my favorites. She just goes with the World War II tie.
Well, and you mention it, so let's go ahead and talk about that as well. But it is incredible. I mean, perhaps the darkest time of the 20th century in so many ways, but these extraordinary lights of faith are all coming into view during this time of adversity. Do you think that's coincidence, by the way?
You know, I think, you know, they talk about there's no atheists in foxholes.
Yes.
I think it's definitely in our darkest hour, we turn to God more and we depend on God more. And I think that's true in our individual lives too. You know, us taking on all these kids, adopting 7 kids in 5 years from foster care, I've been on my knees more than ever because I need God so much just to, you know, deal with it and take care of the kids and have wisdom, and, you know, they face past trauma. I mean, in our darkest moments, whether it's personally, whether it's our country in war, when we are hurting and are at the end of our rope, that's where we turn to God, and that's really where God shows up, just because we're willing. I think God is willing a lot more than we even think to pray, but because we are finally able to turn to God in those dark times, he's able to answer in amazing ways.
Wow, that's quite profound. If you're just tuning in, by the way, that's the voice of Tricia Goyer. She's author of Prayers That Changed History, From Christopher Columbus to Helen Keller, How God Used 25 People to Change the World. Another story that was born out of that time, and perhaps one of the most famous, is Corrie ten Boom. You detail her trials in the concentration camps, but also the path that she took to forgiveness of those who inflicted such pain on her and her family. Can you take us inside that story?
Absolutely. You know, Corrie ten Boom is one of my favorite people. The Hiding Place is like my all-time favorite book. I try to read it every year. So I knew when I was writing this book that I wanted to write her, about her. I wanted to write her story of forgiveness, her forgiving the guard. She actually later in life forgave the guard that had caused so much pain to her and her sister, Betsy. But the amazing thing, when I started digging more into Corrie's story, I realized there's much more than I had even thought about. And it was on the webpage of her family, so her family still maintains a webpage, and it talked about that starting in 1844, so this is 100 years before Corrie was even arrested, in 1844, the ten Boom family, along with friends and neighbors, started a weekly prayer group for the Jewish people. So her grandfather, Wilhelm ten Boom, felt the need to pray for them, and so he turned to the verse, Psalm 122:6, that says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper and love thee." And every week they would get together on Sunday evening and pray for the Jewish people. And I think that is so amazing. So 100 years before Corrie was even sent to a camp, their family had been praying for the Jewish people. So, you know, she was growing up as a toddler, as a little girl, as a young woman, going to these prayer meetings. And they took place every week for 100 years, and they stopped on February 28, 1944, and that was the day the Nazi soldiers came to take the family away. And I thought, how amazing, as families, how we can impact a generation. Her grandfather, Wilhelm ten Boom, had no idea that his prayers would be impacting his granddaughter and what she did to rescue and save Jews and holding her up in the concentration camp. And I think it's just amazing now, and thinks of my kids and my grandkids, how my prayers will uphold the generation. And I think those prayers helped Corrie and her family, you know, rescue Jews, but also to stay strong. And then finally later in life for her to be able to forgive. So I think it's a multi-layered thing of how those prayers impacted. And it all started with the willingness of her grandfather to get on his knees on a regular basis to pray.
That's incredible. I hadn't realized that until I read it in the book as well. Just absolutely amazing. Once again, the name of the book, Prayers That Changed History, From Christopher Columbus to Helen Keller, How God Used 25 People to Change the World. Tricia Goyer is with us on the road. There are so many great stories in here, and we only have a few more minutes. I wonder about the John Newton story, if you could take us inside that. I mean, this is a guy who writes the song that is perhaps the single most recognizable hymn in the history of the church. He finds God literally in a storm.
Absolutely. Yeah, so John Newton was in a storm, and he actually went to sea when he was very young, so he was used to being in storms, but there was one time that a severe storm pounded the ship, and they thought for sure that they were going to drown. And he was even saying through the storm, the ship's going down. And the captain of the ship actually asked him if he could get a knife, and he went to go get it, and someone else took his place and said, you know, I'll go and get it. And upon reaching the deck, a violent wave washed that man overboard. And John didn't have time to even think about that, but that could have been him. And as he was, the water was filling up, and the hours are stretching, and he's thinking about the man that just went over ship, and it could have been him. He thought about the mercy of God, and he thought, you know, if there's mercy for anyone, can there be mercy for me? So this is someone that's had, you know, traded slaves and had lived a pretty sinful life before that.
Yeah.
But it was during that time, that close call to death, that he started to think about God. And as he worked on the pump for hours, pumping out the water from the ship, he finally came to the point that, yes, if there is mercy, then there can be mercy for me. And he began to pray. And so it was in that darkest moment that he turned his life to God. But the amazing thing about that is that it wasn't overnight, he's a different person. So he still struggled. And I think, you know, I love the story that, you know, he accepted God's mercy, but still coming to complete trust and faith in God and giving up all our difficult ways, you know, it takes time. And I love that about his story. You know, when I became a Christian, I was 17. I was a pregnant teen. I turned to God, but I still struggled for years. I remember cursing and all these, you know, really struggling with my thought life. And I mean, I thought, couldn't it be like all of a sudden I'm a completely new, different person and I never have those struggles again? And I know that's true for some people. For other people like me and like John Newton, it's a struggle. And finally, John did come to the place where he completely dedicated his life to God and completely transformed. And I think, of course, he wrote the song Amazing Grace, but I think that Amazing Grace is not only for our salvation, which is, you know, of course, 100%, you know, we're thankful for that, but also for how God is just so faithful, even when we continue to mess up, and when we continue to struggle. That amazing grace is there for us, even in that, too.
Well, it's such a profound point, too, because I think especially when we're looking at these faith figures from the past, we sometimes, I think, are looking for maybe the perfect example of a Christian, and yet we forget that there was only one perfect person who ever lived. Is there a sense in which we can sometimes be almost asking too much of these faith heroes when we find these things in their lives where we recoil from them a little bit? I mean, they are human people, aren't they?
Absolutely. They are human people, and I think just knowing that helps all of us, and it helps. And that's what I hope to take away from the book. You know, there's different, each of these people in history have different journeys, but hopefully we can relate to them in some way. Like maybe there might be one of them that really stands out to us that I could really relate to that. And it helps us see that our journeys are all different and that God is still faithful and that prayer still works. Whether it's you're in the middle of a storm, whether it's right before a battle, whether it's a prayer meeting that you just have with your family on a Sunday night from God's leading, prayer changes things, and it changes us to start with, but it changes history too. And I think it's so important to see them as real people just like us. And it shows us, well, if they prayed and God did amazing things in their lives, maybe he can do amazing things in my life too. And it just gives me hope that the more we get on our knees, the more we'll just be able to see God make an impact on history.
Well, I don't think we could have tied the proverbial bow up on this conversation any better than that. Tricia Goyer has joined us on this very fun edition, very encouraging edition of On the Road, Prayers That Changed History, from Christopher Columbus to Helen Keller, How God Used 25 People to Change the World is the name of the book. And if folks tuned in today and heard either the entire conversation or were just struck by one of the stories or a couple that they heard, where can they go to learn more about the book and pick up a copy?
Okay, well, the book is available at any Christian bookstore, on Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com, all those online sites. And then my website, too, is just TrishaGoyer.com, and I have, in the search box, if you put Prayers That Changed History, I have more background on some of the prayers, and I would love to connect with people, too.
It has been an absolute privilege and a pleasure to have you here today. Thanks so much for taking the time, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.